Do not, you can take the bulletin and look at the bottom right side. The scripture reading, the second one, we're going to be looking at that passage tonight. We're going to be looking at the angelic announcement that the angels brought about the birth of Jesus. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you that Jesus was born. We thank you that on that special night, it certainly indeed was a holy night. We pray, Lord, as we look at our Savior's birth, that we may understand that. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The angels came that night to make an announcement. I don't know if you were listening right before Thanksgiving. There was an announcement that some of the major chains were going to be selling TVs really, really cheap. And we're going to be selling other things along with that. So you had to get up to Walmart and different places to make sure that you would get those sales. Tommy, what are you doing to me? Tommy's making all kinds of noises back there. With the sound system. Tom, look at me. Turn these mics off. They are off, and I'm on, and I'm whistling. Well, we'll have to see if it keeps going, and I'll use one of them if it does. If not, none of you are going to get to sleep tonight because you're going to be hearing that squealing all night. You know, hurry up and get up there because those sales were going to be gone if you didn't get there because they only had five or six of them. They were just trying to get you in the store to sell you something different. But could you imagine if I stood here tonight and I were to say, they're selling 50-inch HD TVs, widescreen, 1080p, and they're $5. I think I might lose some of you. Or they got the brand new iPhone or Xbox and you can get them for $1. You can imagine the people that would be camping out in front of stores wanting to get those sales, and the announcement would be, you know, going all over the place. Many, many years ago, an announcement was made that most people didn't even hear. Announcement that just kind of went unnoticed by most. But it was the greatest announcement that was ever given. It was the announcement by angels, very quietly, to some shepherds about the greatest joy that could ever be given. Now, you expect me tonight to tell you about that announcement and to tell you tonight that all the commercialism that has happened since, all that's been going on all these years, has drowned out that announcement, just like that child is doing to me right now. Who just threw up all over themselves. And they would really appreciate if you didn't look at him as he was walking through there. Isn't it crazy if something like that happens? Everybody wants to turn around and see what's going on. It's that guy right over there. He's taking a heart attack, so everybody turn around and stare at him. Christmas has certainly lost its message these days. We've gotten caught up in all kinds of things except for the reality of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I could stand here right now and I could tell you the story of Jesus' birth. And I thought tonight maybe I wouldn't do that. I thought tonight maybe I'd have children do that. So here's the birth of Jesus as told by kids. Jimmy?
Once upon a time, there lived a girl named Mary, and an angel came to her one day and said,
"You're having a baby."
"A baby? What kind of baby?"
"Look like pumpkins."
"That's it?"
"And frogs."
Mary went to go tell Joseph, her husband, who she was marrying.
"I'm gonna have a baby, and he's gonna be the son of God, and I don't know what we're gonna do about it."
They traveled to Bethlehem to pay their taxes.
And they probably didn't want to walk that far.
They wanted a sports car.
The rooms were full because it was Christmas Eve.
They asked people, and they said there's nowhere to stay.
Yes, I'm Joseph. Where do we stay?
I have no idea.
They asked the innkeeper, do you have any rooms? He said, no, I don't, but you can sleep in the barn.
She was like, I'm not staying in there.
Is that the only place we can go?
Stinky.
They said, okay, and then the baby Jesus was born.
The shepherds were out in the field.
They take care of sheep.
And it was Davis and his brothers and his dad, Jeffrey. No, not Davis, Daniel. And the angel showed up and said that God's being born.
And then they said, follow the star, follow the brightest star. You'll see baby Jesus.
What else?
Wise men were three kings from the east. And they saw this bright light. And it was when Jesus was born.
They brought gifts to him.
Metal presents, gold, something and something.
Gold.
And
Frankenstein and
bow. They look like metal. It's about Jesus.
He wanted to love people and he wanted them to be happy.
First he was a little baby, and then he started growing up to be a man, and then he was Jesus.
He made us, and he loves us. He's God, and that's why we celebrate Christmas.
Christmas is Santa's birthday.
I want to look tonight at just part of the story of Christ's birth. And I want to look at the announcement that came that night, the angelic announcement. And from that announcement, I want us to really do three things. Here's the first one. Consider the angelic audience. Consider who the angels went to. Look with me, Luke chapter 8. Excuse me, I keep saying it. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So the angelic announcement was given to shepherds. You know, you would think if you're going to give an announcement about the birth of a Savior, in fact, if you're going to give the announcement about the birth of a great person, you would think it would go to a large and wide audience. Didn't. You think that it would go to, in that day, maybe the nobles, or maybe kings, maybe generals, maybe even Caesar himself. But it didn't. It went to shepherds. While they're out in their fields taking care of the flocks. Shepherds. Now, we don't know for sure when that announcement went. I personally think it was probably sometime in the spring. I think everybody knows that Jesus was not born on December 25th. That it was just the date that was chosen to celebrate the birth of Christ. But shepherds. Shepherds in those days was a lowly position. Many shepherds were often untrustworthy. They certainly were ceremonially unclean. You would not think of them being the ones who would get the announcement. In fact, if it wasn't a ruler or a nobleman or something like that who even sees you, you would think that it would go to the religious men of the day. You would think it would go, you know, to the bigwigs in religion, but it didn't even go to them. It went to shepherds. Yeah, I think there's at least one reason why that may have happened. To those men who were often rejected, to those men who were often even looked down on by the religion of that day, to those men who were not the men of a position that everybody would look forward to having, the message of a Savior came. I think that tells you and I that that message was to all of us. It's to every person who was in need of someone very important in their life. It was to every one of us who were in need of the most important person that ever was born. It was every one of us who needed the birth of a Savior. The message came to them while they were taking care of their flocks. In fact, when the message came, it says that the brightness, the glory shone around them, and it says they were afraid. Literally says that they feared with great fear. In other words, they were scared out of their wits. You can imagine what it might have been like if you were sound asleep and someone woke you up in the middle of the night with, you know, bright lights, and all of a sudden they're, you know, all around you. A while back, I thought I'd finally get my wife back for all the years of misery she has given me. I'm talking about April Fool's Day. Every year, she would always pull a prank on me, so I thought, I'm finally going to get her back. And with the help of Maritza, I got one of the heads out of her beauty shop, and I stuck the head in our bed, laid it on the pillow, and took some pillows and, you know, made a body out of it so that when she came back visiting her parents, she would see this body staring at her. And this head that Maritza gave me was the weirdest, ugliest, spookiest looking head you can imagine. And she went running in the room, and I was kind of down, or she went in the room, I was downstairs, and I was just waiting for the scream. All of a sudden, I heard the scream, and she went running away. You can imagine, middle of the night, all of a sudden, you know, everything, you know, just burst forth. These guys were afraid. What caused them to be so afraid? They were hearing the greatest announcement that could ever be given. And they were suddenly in the presence of no human being. They were in the presence of what few people have ever seen. They were in the presence of God's messengers, of angels. And they were there to make an angelic announcement. In fact, let's look at it. Notice secondly, don't ignore the angelic announcement. Don't ignore it. Verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people today trying to ignore that. They're trying to ignore the announcement. They don't want to hear that announcement. In fact, you know, just recently down in Wilkes-Barre on Courthouse Square, they wanted to take down the menorah that was there and the manger scene that was there, and they were only allowed to put it back if they put Santa Claus and a couple other things there, or they had to keep it removed. People don't want to hear about Jesus. People don't want to hear about the birth of Christ. Could you imagine what it would be like if Christ was never born? Could you imagine what it would be like if some people today had their way and we could just ignore the birth of Jesus and it never happened? In fact, I want you to watch this. We're going to rename some songs as if Christ was never been born. Watch.
Want all the warmth and beauty of the holiday season without all those offensive religious overtones? Well, now you can. Postmodern Productions is proud to introduce Happy Holidays. This amazing two-disc holiday collection includes all your favorite carols, digitally remastered and politically corrected. Just listen.
Hark the herald reindeer sing. Can't you hear the sleigh bells ring?
Your kids will sing along with joy and delight. Without religious indoctrination.
Joy to the world.
Santa's come. What presents did he bring?
I'm dreaming of a white letter.
Finally, there's a recording that reflects the true spirit of this wonderful season.
Only to slice of honey, ham, how still we see the light.
Oh, shining night, the stars are brightly shining.
Away in a strip mall, no room for your car. A little more shopping with your credit card.
In addition to this wonderful collection, you will also receive this endearing Santa Claus. This handsomely decorated Santa Claus is perfect for getting to that hard-to-reach holiday itch. But wait! If you act now on this special one-time offer, you'll receive not one, not two, but three Santa Claus, absolutely free! Happy Holidays is sure to be cherished by your entire family for years to come. Happy Holidays can be yours for $19.95 plus $10 for shipping and handling. This collection will not be sold in stores. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Order yours today.
The angel said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." A Savior. He was born. He is Christ the Lord. Well, you notice they tell us who he is. He's a Savior. The Bible tells us that God loved us so much, he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. Savior was born. The Bible tells us that the reason a Savior was born is because we need one. That we are sinners. And we all fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us because Adam and Eve sinned, it has affected every single one of us. We have all fallen short. You know, the reason the Bible says that people won't go to heaven is because we're simply not good enough. You know, people often talk about going to heaven or what will happen when they die. And most people say, well, you know what? I think my good works will probably outweigh my bad works, and my good things will outweigh my bad things. Yeah, I think I'll get there. But every time they ask people that question, it's always interesting because they always think their neighbor's not going to get there, but they will. We're not good enough. We all fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says we need a Savior because we're lost, that our sin has separated us from God. And without a Savior, we would all die in our sins. We need a Savior because religion is not enough. You know, some people think it doesn't really matter what religion you belong to as long as you're religious. In fact, some people think, you know what I'll do is I'll kind of get a little from each religion. I'll grab a little from this religion, I'll grab a little from that religion, I'll grab a little from this religion, and I'll just take the things I like from each religion, get rid of the things I don't like from the other religions, and I'll put them all together, and that will be my religion. Problem is, even when Jesus was born, there were many religious people, but they still needed a Savior. The angelic announcement was that a Savior had been born. And to make sure they understood who that Savior was, they said, "He is Christ the Lord. He's not just another prophet. He's not just another good man. He's not just another good teacher. He's not just another religious man, but he is the Savior, and he is Christ the Lord." The thing that's different about Jesus from every other person or even religious leader that has ever been born is that Jesus is God. Not just a good man or great man, but he is God. He is Christ the Lord. The Jews had for years and years and years and years had waited for the Christ to be born. The Old Testament calls him the Messiah, the one who would save the Israelites. And that time of waiting and waiting and waiting had finally come to its conclusion. But by the time Jesus was born, what the Israelites were looking for was they were looking for a military guy that would save them from the Romans, and not God himself. who would save them from their sin. The Savior that was born was not one who would save them from their problems. He was not one who would save them from a Roman government. He was one who would save them from their sin. See, that's our problem. Our problem is that we are born with sin. And I can prove that to every one of us. All you got to do is look at your life and ask yourself, have you ever done anything that you know God would not like? That's sin. And because of that sin, we have been separated from God. So God wanted to do something about it. He sent His only Son, His one and only Son, to come and to be born. To do what a Savior is called to do. A Savior is called to save. So He sent His Son that He might save us from that sin. Notice their announcement. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The news that He was going to bring about a Savior wasn't just for the Jews. It wasn't for the religious people. It wasn't for the blacks or the whites or the browns or the reds. It was for all the people. Of every group, of every nationality, of every race, of every religion, of every place they could possibly be. It was for all people. The birth of Jesus wasn't just for Christians, because you know, at the time Jesus was born, there were no Christians. Birth of Jesus, we're told here, was for all people. Why? Because all of us need a Savior. Because we're all sinners. And He wanted to make sure that the shepherds would understand that the person they were looking for was a person that they would find, and He wanted to give them a sign of the kind of person they would find. So He says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Strips of cloth. In those days, they didn't have Pampers. They had cloth diapers. And in fact, in those days, parents would want to show how special their baby was. So the more money you had and the more prominent you were would affect what kind of strips of clothes you would have on your baby. Jesus had no special ones. He had your own run-of-the-mill strips of cloth, and they would find this Savior, Christ the Lord, the one that God would send, His one and only Son, the one that would save people from their sin, the one that would be that special child like no other child ever born. That baby they would find in a manger. Could you imagine that? Such a special child. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in some fancy hospital. He was born in a manger. Manger is a feeding trough. It's where the animals would go to eat their hay. And that's the place where the Savior was born. Born for you and I. Born that in looking to Him, our lives can be changed. Born that in looking to Him, God can take our sin, can take your life, and separate the two. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west. In fact, the Bible says the only way that you and I can be separated from our sin is because of that Savior. The only way you could have any hope, any chance, any possibility of ever getting to heaven is through that baby. God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Peter tells us He died to bring us to God. You know, we try in so many ways to get to God, don't people? I mention a few. Try to be religious, try to bring a little from each religion, try to be a good person, try to be, you know, a good spouse, maybe a good parent, try to be a good citizen. We try all these things to make ourselves better, and we hope that somehow in some way we'll just make ourselves good enough that we'll finally get there. Bible makes very clear that no matter how good we try to make ourselves, it's just not going to be good enough. And that is why a Savior had to be born. Because the only way in which this sin could ever be separated from us was if God did something about it. If God reached down into your life and my life, sent his one and only Son, nailed him to a cross that his blood might be shed, becoming our scapegoat. Yeah, I remember when I was in middle school, our class, we were a bunch of nuts. And when the teacher wasn't around, I'm sure you never did this at your school, but when the teacher wasn't around, we were nuts. And everybody would just go crazy. Well, we went crazy. The teacher walked out of the room and everybody went crazy. And believe it or not, except for me, at least on that day. And I was good. And when she came back, everybody got punished. And I said, but I didn't do anything. Doesn't matter. We don't know who did good and who did bad. We're punishing all of you. Every so often, we get punished for things we don't think we deserved. God sent his Son to take the punishment we deserve and put it on him that we might not receive that punishment, because we needed a Savior. So when Jesus stretched out his arms, he became our scapegoat. He became the one who would take God's holy punishment on himself so that you wouldn't have to receive it. But all that really doesn't matter. Because if you don't turn to that Savior and ask him to become your Savior, that punishment is still yours. You're still liable for that punishment because of your sin. It is only through him that you have any possibility for that punishment to be taken away. Because no matter how good you think you are, no matter how good you try to be, it will never be enough. That is what God declares. How do I know it to be true? How do I know that this Bible in front of us is indeed God's word? Because all you got to do is begin in the first book and begin looking at every prophecy that was ever made, and you will find that every single one of them was fulfilled in detail, right down to the smallest deeds, to the smallest details. That was the message the angels brought that night. That man's need to be removed from his sin was found in a baby that would be born in a manger. Don't ignore that announcement. Don't ignore what the angels said that night. Don't ignore God's love for you when he sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sin. Don't get lost up in all the things you can get lost up in this world. Don't get lost up in thinking, well, I'll just be a good person, that's all that matters. Don't get lost in thinking, I will be religious and it doesn't matter which religion. Don't get lost in the thinking that it's all right, Jesus, yeah, he's a good guy, but I got so many other good guys. Don't get lost in all that. Because what man needed was a Savior. And that's the message that was brought that day. And that is what we celebrate. It is the birth of a Savior. Don't ignore that message. Don't ignore that announcement. In fact, I want you to notice down in verse 10. Excuse me, down in verse 13. It says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts, more angels, appeared with that angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. So the angel announced to these shepherds, look, a Savior has been born. But then they're joined by other angels, and all the angels begin praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. And they're basically saying, God, thank you that you sent a Savior to save men from their sin. I want you tonight to join in their chorus. Join in that angelic chorus. I mean, we all ought to be singing tonight what they sang. I don't think there are any place where, you know, there's music and words that, you know, that kind of go with this sentence. But we need to praise God that he loved each one of us so much. We need to thank him for what he's done. They not only begin to praise God, but then they kind of look towards man and they say, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. God's favor is God's grace. God's grace reached down to man, and in doing that, he sent the Savior. Think about your life. Has anyone ever done something for you? I mean, that was just kind of out of this world. I mean, they just did something to you, and you kind of sat back and said to yourself, I can't believe that you would do this for me. The angel said, look, God's favor rests on you, and we want you to have peace. In the Bible, it speaks of two kinds of peace. The one is a vertical peace, and it talks about the peace we can have with God, because the Bible says, the moment we're born, we are separated from God. We are actually God's enemies. Think about that. But through the birth of a Savior, we can have peace with God. We can have a relationship with God. Not only that, but we can have the peace of God. We can find through a relationship with Jesus Christ a peace that you've never could experience apart from a relationship with Jesus. It's not the absence of all your problems. It's not the absence of all the difficulties in the world. It's not God coming into your life and fixing every difficulty and problem you've ever had in your life. But it's God giving you a peace that just passes all understanding. And it's only found in the person of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I've told this message many times. Some people have sat back and said, that's what I need to hear. Some people have sat back and I can see it in their eyes and they're kind of saying, I don't believe a word you're talking. Some people have sat back and said, I could care less what you're saying. Others have sat back and saying, you know what? It's just not going to affect my life. But I want you to know one day you will stand before God. And God's going to ask what you did with the message. You don't have to answer to me. You don't have to answer to anyone but God. And God's going to say, what did you do with the angelic announcement? Did you respond? Did you reject? Or did you just simply ignore? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. So much that goes on at Christmas time, it's easy to miss the message. It's easy to miss the announcement. You know, what you do with God is between you and God. What you do with this announcement is between you and God. How you respond to it is between you and God. You could ignore it. You could reject it. Or you can respond to it and ask the Savior that was born that day to become your Savior. But I hope one day when you stand in God's presence, you will have chosen to respond to the Savior. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. Trust him to be the one and only person who can do something about your sin. And call upon him to be your Savior. Father God, we thank you for the birth of the Savior that day. We thank you, Lord, as we look back to his birth. We thank you, Lord, that your favor did rest with us. And Father, I pray tonight that those who have rejected this message might receive it tonight. That those who have ignored it might choose no longer to ignore it. And I pray, Lord, that you might work in hearts and lives. And that the message, this announcement of the angels, may not get out of their heads until they respond to Jesus, until they respond to that Savior. And Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward this time. You got candles as you came in, and we are going to be lighting those candles. I am going to light the ushers' candles, and as the ushers work their way back, they are going to light your candle. And once we get everybody's candles lit, then we're going to turn the lights out, and we are then going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night. So I'm going to give ushers some candles. Ushers, I don't want you to use those little ones. I want you to use these nice big ones. Don't go out, candle. All right, they're going to light the ones on the end. You can remain seated. Once we get them all lit, then we'll have you stand. We'll sing together, and then work your way to the outsides.